Tonight, I want to speak on the subject, don't waste God's grace. Don't waste God's grace. And I have two desires or two objectives for my message tonight. Number one, I want to remind you of how amazing God's grace is. And then number two, I want to encourage you not to waste it. Paul wrote in this scripture that we read just a moment ago, "For I am the least of the apostles that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God." Now, Paul was an apostle. In fact, in many of the letters that he wrote that are now part of the New Testament, you'll find at the beginning of most of those letters, Paul, an apostle of Christ, or Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. An apostle was somebody that was called of Christ to be a disciple. An apostle was somebody that had seen the Lord Jesus Christ. And an apostle was somebody that was instructed or commanded to carry the message of Christ to the world, to be his ambassador, to be his representative. And so Paul says, "I am the least of all the apostles." If you line them all up, one by one, put them in a line, I'd be over here in the last place. If you ranked them from top to the bottom, I'd be at the bottom. And he says, "I'm not meet to be called an apostle." What he's saying is, I don't deserve the title. I don't deserve to be called an apostle. I don't deserve the honor that comes along with that title, nor do I deserve the privilege of doing what that title or what that name apostle means. I don't deserve the privilege to go into the world to preach Jesus Christ. I just don't deserve it. Why? He tells us, because I persecuted the church of God. And time after time, as you read the New Testament, time after time, as you read the testimonies that Paul gave to different people, he reminded himself and he reminded others of his wicked past. I mean, he reminded his hearers of what he did. When he stood before the crowd in Jerusalem, as is recorded in Acts chapter 22, he said this in verses 19 and 20, "Lord, they know that I imprisoned and beat in every synagogue them that believe on thee. And when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by and consenting unto his death, and kept the raiment of them that slew him." When Stephen was stoned, I was there, and I wanted him to be stoned. I wanted him to be killed, and I held the coats and the garments of those that threw the stones at him. When in Acts chapter 26, when he stood before Festus, the Roman governor, and when he stood before Agrippa, the king of Israel at that time, he said this, "I verily thought within myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which things I also did in Jerusalem. And many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priest. And when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. And I punished them off in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceeding mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities." Paul said, "I went after them wherever they went. Wherever these Christians went, I went after them to get them. I threw them, I wrapped them up in chains. I brought them to prison. When the crowd wanted to kill him, I added my voice to him and said, yep, let's kill him. Let's stone him. Let's, whatever way we want to kill him, let's just go ahead and get rid of him. These Christians are disrupting the church as we know it. They're destroying our way of worship. And we need to wipe them off the face of the earth." When Paul was blinded, remember on the road to Damascus, and he was blinded, and he was blind for 3 days, and God called a man named Ananias to go and said, "Ananias, I want you to go lay your hand on Paul. He's been blinded, and when you lay your hand on him, he'll receive his sight." And here's what Ananias said, "Lord, I have heard by many of this man, how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on his name." Ananias said, "I've heard a lot from a lot of different people. This man is after Christians. He's after those that call on your name. He's after your servants. And he has authority here in Damascus to round us all up and carry us back to Jerusalem and throw us in jail. In writing to Timothy, his son in the gospel, in 1 Timothy chapter 1, 15, Paul said this, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." Here's what Paul said. You line up all the sinners. Just put them right in a row. I'll be over here first place in line. You line up all the sinners from the worst sinner to the best sinner. I'll be over here. I'll be the worst sinner in the whole line. I've committed the most sins. I've committed the most wicked sins. I am the number one sinner. Then Paul says in verse 10, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am." And here's what Paul was saying. Let me tell you what I am now. Let me tell you what I am as I write this letter to you at the church at Corinth. I'm a Christian. I'm part of God's family. I'm one of his sons. I'm a brother of the Lord Jesus Christ. All my sins are washed away. I stand before God justified just as if I've never sinned. I have a home in heaven. I have the Holy Spirit living inside of me. And he says, not because I've changed, not because I've cleaned up my act, not because I've turned over a new leaf, I am what I am by the grace of God. God's unmerited favor, God's riches at Christ's expense. The song hadn't been written yet, but I sort of think there's a little Jewish guy up in heaven that sort of sings it a lot. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. And then Paul says, "And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain." He said, I didn't waste it. I didn't let it pass without grabbing a hold of it and make it mine. When I heard the story of Jesus, and when I understood what he did for me, when I realized that he took all of my wicked, vile, dirty sin, and he bore them on his own body, in his own body, to Calvary's tree, and there paid the price for my sin. And there on that cross satisfied the justice of God when he said the wages of sin is death. I said, here's what Paul said, "Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner." He called upon Jesus on that road to Damascus. You know, when Jesus met him, when he saw Jesus, and the first words that he said when he saw Christ and understood what Jesus did to him, he called him, "Lord, Lord, Lord." He said, what Paul was saying is, I didn't let that grace be bestowed upon me in vain. I didn't waste it. The moment I saw Jesus and everything he did for me, I called on him and asked him to be my Savior. That's why Paul could later write in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, "For by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourself, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." It's not easy for most of us to realize how wicked we were when we got saved. I'll just use myself for an example, and as I talk about myself, I just ask you to think about yourself. See, I was the kind of person that could say, I wasn't so bad. I was a Sunday school kid. From the time I was born, my mom and dad took me to Sunday school. We went to church on Sunday night. We went to church on Sunday morning. We went to church on Wednesday night. I mean, every time the door of the church was open, From the time I was, I don't know how old I was when the first time I went to church, but I'm sure it was just a few days after I was born. I was there every single service. My dad had the philosophy, even when I grew up and became a teenager. He said, if you're going to eat it, you're going to have your feet underneath my table, you're going to eat my food, you're going to go to church. And I did. I like to eat, you notice that. And I went to church. I never smoked. I never drank. I never took drugs. When the church youth group had a meeting or an out activity, I went. I went to revivals. I mean, my life was built in the church. And I could never say like Paul, I'm the chiefest of sinners. I mean, he could have said it. I mean, as I read his life story in the Bible, he was a wicked sinner. Persecuted Christians. Arrested them, threw them in jail, broke up families. But not me. I mean, I sinned. I know I was a sinner. I disobeyed my mom and dad at times. I lied. I fought with my brothers. I even stole my offering. I think I told you this story one time. My dad, before I got an allowance, he would put a quarter in an envelope and have me put it in the offering plate, take it to Sunday school, and I would get me a paper clip and tear the corner out of that envelope, take that quarter and buy candy. It was a good plan, and it was working until the treasurer, I'm sure we had a treasurer like Larry, went to my dad and said, you know, your son's putting it in an empty envelope every week. And my dad beat the devil out of me. That's why I believe in tithing. I know you're going to get it if you don't tithe. But I wasn't so bad. And I think if we're not careful and we think like that, that the grace of God loses some of its amazement. I read a verse like James 2:10 where the Bible says, for whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. I was a liar. I broke the law in one point. I didn't honor my mom and dad because I disobeyed them. I broke the law in a second point. I was a thief because I stole my offering or his offering. I broke the law in a third point. And I was guilty of every single one of them. And so in God's sight, I was an idolater. I was a blasphemer. I was a murderer. I was an adulterer. Now here's what I want you to think about with me just for the next couple minutes. I want you to think about what you would consider the worst sinner. And I want you to think just for a moment about what you would consider the worst sin. Now I know what that is for me. To me, the worst sinner and the worst sin are people that abuse children. I've told you before, and I have to fight myself on this. People that do things to children that I can't even imagine and don't even want to speak about tonight, I just think they should be taken out and shot. I think they should be just sent to hell with no chance for redemption. But what this verse tells me is that in God's sight, I am just as guilty as the worst child abuser that's ever lived. In God's sight, I am just as dirty and vile and wicked as they are. And yet, in His grace, Jesus went to the cross for me. And yet, in His grace, He died for somebody like me. And so, as I think about it that way, I can say, like Paul, I am the chiefest of sinners. I am the first in line. I am the worst of the worst. And I can sing that song, and it means so much more. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. And if you're here tonight and you're not saved, Jesus died for you. He took all of your sins on himself when he went to Calvary, and he paid the price for every single one of them. Don't waste God's grace. Don't let it pass. If you're here tonight and you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, you grab a hold of that grace. You call upon the one who went to Calvary for you. You say, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. I don't deserve it. If you deserved it, it wouldn't be grace. I don't deserve it, but I believe what the Bible says about it. And tonight, I ask you to be my Savior. I've often been taught by Brother Dick and others, you can't get a person saved until you get them lost. And again, until we as Christians realize what we were in God's sight. In the book of Isaiah, it says, all of our righteousnesses in God's sight are as filthy rags. And when we realize what we were in the sight of a holy, holy God, then we'll lose sight of how amazing his grace was. Now, Paul didn't stop there. He added another truth for us that are Christians. Here's what he says. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was in me. You see, God's grace is not done when it saves us. God's grace wants to work through us to tell other people about Jesus, as Brother Clint prayed in his prayer a moment ago, to further the kingdom of God. That's why Paul, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, 8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. In verse 10, he writes this, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. You that know the story of Paul and what he did after he received Jesus Christ as his Savior know that he is telling the absolute truth when he says, I labored more abundantly than they all. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, he writes this, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more oft, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. 5 times I was whipped, 39 times. Three times was I beaten with rods. Once I was stoned and left for dead. 3 times I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I've spent in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness and watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. I did all that to do what God wanted me to do. But Paul says this. He says it wasn't me. It wasn't me. It was the grace of God which was with me. It was the grace of God which was with me. Now here's the question I want you to leave with tonight. What's the grace of God doing through us? What's the grace of God doing through us? The same grace that saved us. The same grace that saved us wants to use us. Wants to use us. Paul said, God's grace wasn't bestowed upon me in vain. I didn't waste it. When I saw it, I got saved. And then I let it use me to do what God wanted me to do. God's grace hasn't changed. what it did for Paul, it wants to do for each of us. Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight. Simple reminder of your grace, what it does. I pray tonight, if there's just one person here that's never received Jesus as their Savior, that tonight would be the night they make that decision. It's a wonderful thing to be a Christian. Teresa played that song for our offertory tonight. And I pray, Father, if there's, again, just one person that's never received Christ, tonight they'd make that decision. And then, Father, for the many Christians that are here, reminded in that song that Brother Dick led us in a moment ago, only a sinner saved by grace. It amazes me, Father, that you use us. I want to say like Paul, we don't deserve it. But Father, what a wonderful privilege it is to be used of you. And I pray tonight that we give ourselves to you. We'd let that wonderful, marvelous, amazing grace work through us so that the world could see Jesus. Bless the invitation tonight. Help those that need to come, maybe just to spend a moment at the altar thanking you for that grace. Maybe just a moment at the altar dealing with something else that, Holy Spirit, you've brought to mind. Help us to not waste this opportunity. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.